Okie dokie, folks, and welcome back to the Backbreaker Media Network. You are listening to Monday Night Shaw. I am your host, Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. the Canadian Goose. And on the show today, I want to welcome a brand new member of the RCW roster, or at least a newer member of the RCW roster, formerly known as Kid Cyrus. It is Dalton Rogue. Dalton, how are you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, bro. I appreciate you having me on the podcast. It's always fun to do different podcasts, different people, and it's awesome. I appreciate you.
Nice. Have you done other podcasts?
I've done one. I don't know if you ever heard of it, the Dez Tro Show.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Okay, well, that's the only like other one I've done so far, but yeah, they're always fun to do.
Right on. I saw the other day I was like on YouTube and I saw came across a video of you and Tony Condello, and you were like interviewing Tony Condello. Like, have you ever given any thought to like doing your own podcast?
Actually, yes, I have. I've actually gave it a lot of thought because I thought it would be because, you know, like I'm a fan of basically everything like wrestling, sports. You know what I mean? Like I'm a fan of everything. So I feel like it'd be fun to have kind of a podcast that just talks about everything, you know what I mean? Has different guests that have different perspectives on different sports or different teams or different wrestling styles or different wrestlers. You know, I definitely did think about it. I thought it'd be something fun to do.
Yeah. How come you didn't start one up?
I'm still in the process of kind of thinking of it and putting it together and, trying to figure out who I'm going to work with on it, because original idea came up with like my brother, because he's like
get Tony Condello.
It would be a lot easier if he didn't live so far away.
I liked his stories though. It was good. I should see if he'll come on and do this one.
Oh bro, he'll tell you stories for like hours on end without you getting like bored at all. This guy is awesome.
Yeah, no, I liked it. And then my favorite part of the whole video, like if you haven't seen it, folks, it's I think you search up Dalton and Bobby on YouTube and you'll find it. But KB6 is there as well, and he doesn't say anything in the whole video. He just like does the reactions, and it's classic stuff. Like especially like my favorite one was when Tony Condello starts talking about how wrestlers back in the day would, you know, occasionally smoke weed or whatever, and then the look on KB6's face is just priceless. It's great stuff.
Yeah, my YouTube channel is just all different kinds of videos to kind of keep life interesting, you know what I mean? Like interviews, wrestling videos, challenges with my girlfriend, all different type of stuff to keep it fun.
Nice. Solid. So I guess I mentioned KB6 and I had him on the podcast recently, and I asked him why he left the MPW and came to RCW, and it turned into like the entire podcast. I kind of don't want that to happen again, but I should ask you like why you left MPW and came to RCW. I also I'm curious to know if the Northern tour that KB6 was on, if you were on that one and if you saw what happened and whatnot.
I was not on the one with him that like all the heat went down. That was actually that would have been my third year in a row going if I did do that one, but I did two back to back, and then basically, you know, life hit hard. I just started a brand new job as the tour was about to start, so I wasn't really able to get on to that one.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds like you might have dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, a little bit, to be honest, because like, you know, I try to avoid heat as much as possible, and I feel where he's coming from, and you know, I listened to both sides of the stories and took both perspectives, and you know what I mean? Like, I feel that it's better for him that he moved away, you know what I mean? Less yeah. Problems, less stress on him. So it's good on his end.
Yeah, 100%. What led to your decision to come over to RCW?
I'm not like trying to sound like a like one of those cocky guys, but you know what I mean? Like, I felt that I couldn't progress anymore there. I felt like I was the best talent they actually had. And like, I'm not saying that in like no cocky way or nothing like that. That's just like, I felt that through training and having matches with everybody there, that I wasn't getting better in any way. And you can only get better if you work with guys that are better than you. So, and I felt very, very locked down. Like I wasn't under no contracts, nothing like that. And I felt like I was absolutely locked there where I couldn't work for nobody else. And it was only the one shows a month. And that's what I had to stick to. And I felt stressed to the point where, like, I wasn't getting better. I was doing one show a month, wasn't getting in the proper training, the proper practice, the proper drills. So I just felt like I had to take my career to the next level. I felt like I had to move away and kind of work with more people who have a lot more experience than me, that all different people work different styles, can teach me new things from every different perspective. I can work with guys that been in the business for years on end that will show me things I never even learned. Like in the last couple months, I've learned so much already, and I felt like that's what I had to do to keep progressing.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, I think that that's definitely like when, like, and I'm like, again, I don't have a problem with MPW. I've been to some of their shows. I find them really entertaining, and I think that they have a lot of great talent there. But, like, the one show a month thing is kind of like one of those things where it's like, well, over at RCW, like, when shows are running, we're doing like two shows a week, you know,
Yeah,
at
exactly.
least. And like, so like, it's just for like to get experience, you're gonna get more experience wrestling for RCW than you would wrestling for any promotion that only runs, you know, once a month.
Yeah, and like everybody was great to me there in their own way, you know what I mean? Like obviously I had little issues here and there, but I have mad respect for everybody there, and I'm not
Like
trying
it's pro
to.
wrestling, and there's a lot of like big personality, so it's hard to go like I'm sure through your whole career without having, you know, a personal issue here and there with somebody or a little bit of heat every once in a while. 'Cause it's like I say, it's a very like there's a lot of egos and personalities, and it's kind of easy sometimes to just to drum up a little bit of you know, sour feelings or whatnot, but at the end of the day, we all are kind of in the same boat, and it's so much more fun when we're all just like supportive and cool with one another. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's basically how like my career kicked off too. Like when I first got into wrestling, I was like a very huge shit disturber. I burned a lot of bridges with a lot of people. I pissed a lot of people off. I was like the cocky guy that thought, "Oh, I'm so great." You know what I mean? Like
Oh,
nobody's
really?
better. Yeah, and it's because like basically the how I was growing up, you know what I mean? And I came into wrestling at such a young age that I just thought I was top level already doing all this stuff, right? And I pissed a lot of people off along the roads and like put a bad rep out for myself. So as like and I got to give a shout out to Massive Damage because he may be a lot of things, but the guy really helped me a lot to get on the right track and to stop being the cocky guy that
Yeah.
thought he was, you know, so amazing at everything. He kind of put me in my place, leveled me out, and taught me like to basically not burn a bridge, you know what I mean? Because you never know when the opportunity will come again. And
Yeah, 100%.
as my career went on, I just had to, you know, as I got understanding of how to deal with people, even people that are still like that I don't like, just, you know what I mean, bite my tongue, and I'm trying to put back a lot of pieces that I broke when I was being a shit disturber.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, like, it is one of those things where like a lot of the people that are in wrestling are in it for like, you know, the attention or whatever, right? Like,
yeah.
We're all performers because we like to entertain people, and you know, there's a certain degree of attention deficit disorder that comes with that sort of thing, you know what I mean? But like it, I think it is important for like, because it's also a business that we all do keep our you know, socks pulled up and our heads on straight, and every once in a while it is important for somebody to come along and just, you know, tell you to give your head a shake or whatever. Like, confidence is really important. Metal told me a little while ago, like, that confidence is free, because it's something I struggle with is like having confidence in my abilities and stuff sometimes, right? And he told me that confidence is free, and I think that's 100% true. But I also think that, like, if you get too egotistical and you don't have humility, that will cost you, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Because, like, I feel you on the confidence side, because it took me a very long time to be able to wrestle without a shirt when I first started. And I just was, same thing, I was in the boat of major confident issues. I was really self-cautious with my body. So I feel you there for sure, in a different way. But I mean, I feel you on, like, you know what I mean, right? So
yeah, well, I mean, like, wrestling is like super difficult and painful, you know? But like, it is one of those things where, like, sometimes you do need somebody to give you, like I was, you were saying about massive damage, you know, telling you to pull up your socks and give your head a shake. Well, it's sometimes true for the opposite thing, you know. Sometimes somebody has to come and tell you, like, hey, no, give your head a shake and have some confidence in what you're doing, because you know, I'm not trying to put words in anyone's mouth, but like, I'm not horrible, you know, I'm passable. And
yeah,
it's like the same with anyone else. And like, you gotta remember and have confidence in your abilities, because I think it's super important. But how old were you when you got into wrestling?
I was 15 years old.
15 years old, holy cow.
Yeah, I was on my high school, like going into high school. I was just about to go into high school. And in the summer, there was like football tryouts. I made the football team. And I, surprisingly, I made second string on the football team. And, like, you know what I mean? Usually for first year, you're like third string, barely play. But I got put on second string. And then I was also doing martial arts, like, as a side. And as soon as I seen, like, the opportunity of wrestling, and, like, I messaged MPW, and I was talking with Sean, and he's like, yeah, come down and check it out, right? And I met a lot of people that I definitely wanted to. I knew instantly as soon as I watched the first show, I wanted to do that. I had to do it. I grew up watching it with my grandfather. Like, this is what I wanted to do. And my mind, like, switched. I told my football coaches, I was like, nope, I quit. I'm done. I went to my martial arts school. I gave them my gear, and I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm quitting. And I went straight into wrestling and never looked back.
And how old are you now, bud?
I'll be 21 next month in May.
So you've been wrestling for 6 years then?
Just about, yes.
Right on.
This summer will be 6 years.
Solid. And who are some of like your favorite people that you got a chance to wrestle with in MPW?
In MPW? Oof. That's tough. Okay, that's tough. I did really like working with KB6. He was fun. I liked working with working with Rich, being a tag partner. It was definitely fun because we had such different wrestling styles. So it was really fun putting his style and my style together to make like a cool tag spot. So that definitely interested me a lot, because like, it was super fun to think of new ways to do stuff. I definitely liked working with I can't really think. I don't know, I'm drawing a blank here on his wrestling name, but Ahmed, I loved working with him.
Oh, is that TY?
Yeah, there we go. TY. I just was drawing a blank there, but yeah, I loved working with him. He was a lot of fun.
I would like to
And
have a match with him for sure.
you know what I mean? He's very athletic for his size, and he can do a lot of cool stuff. He'd surprise you know what I mean? And I definitely loved working with Nasty Nate Nixon. He was always fun, always had some interesting ideas.
Yeah, I've had a couple of matches with Nate for sure.
And I liked working with Blake. Blake Cannon, he did some fun things. So
Oh, awesome.
I love to work with basically, everybody there. It was a lot of fun. I like to work with Sultan Singh. He was really funny. He almost cracked me up a few times while we were working, and it was just a lot of entertainment to work with him. So it was a good time.
Well, that's great. Is there anyone that you would put over as somebody that taught you a lot of how to wrestle and whatnot?
Taught like in the very beginning, there's two guys that did teach me a lot, and that is Lil Blay is and Cobra Kai. And those two guys right from the beginning were teaching me the style of wrestling that I wanted to know. You know what I mean? Like I didn't want to be I at the beginning, obviously I wanted to do all these flippy cool drop kicks, all this stuff, right? So
Yeah.
at the very beginning, that's everything they were showing me. You know what I mean? They were showing me their styles, and they helped me out a lot to be able to do it so smoothly. You know what I mean?
I imagine he's probably a pretty good mind for the business because I know that Simbodi's got the Snake Pit wrestling page on Facebook and is constantly showing training videos and all kinds of great stuff on there. So, I mean, definitely for any young wrestlers, check out that Snake Pit Wrestling Academy. Or I'm not sure exactly what the name of the thing is, but if you search up Simbodi or Snake Pit, I'm sure it'll come up. And it's incredible. Like sometimes he just like watches old matches on YouTube and explains everything about them and whatnot. So I got to imagine that some of that knowledge has rubbed off on his brother. And I've met Cobra Kai a few times, and I thought he was a solid dude for sure.
Well, Cobra Kai taught me, showed me how to do this. It's like wicked drop kick, or like just to have the skill to be able to like touch someone so lightly. He would make me stand in the middle of the ring and close my eyes so I wouldn't flinch, and he would jump up and drop kick me in the nose, and like wouldn't hurt my nose. And I'm still, if you're listening, Cobra, I'm still trying to put the pin on that today and perfect that move. It was just something cool that I thought. It's like, wow, you have the ability to like control yourself that much to just be able to, give a little tap. It's cool.
Yeah, no, I have not thrown a lot of drop kicks. I have done it once or twice, but I normally I go for it. So I tell the person, put your hands up because I'm gonna kick you hard. When you eventually you moved over to RCW, what was your first match in RCW?
My first, are you talking like when I did just like a sideshow out of town show for RCW, or when I officially made
Sure,
like the
let's
move
talk
over?
about that a little bit. Your first sideshow experience for RCW.
My first sideshow experience was with SOI, Son of Irish,
Oh,
and
okay. I imagine you guys are probably have a lot of history in wrestling in MPW, right?
oh yeah. We've worked like tag teams and everything, so we definitely had like the chemistry there to be able to just, okay, this is, I know what you do and he knows what I do, and it was just easy to come together and throw something together quick. And
Was that in Radway?
yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
Solid.
it was super fun, and it just, you know what I mean, it felt, because it was somebody I already knew, it felt super easy to come into a new place and just be able to work so easily with this guy. So we just came in there, threw something together, and then I think it was a couple months later I made the jump over to RCW.
And how, when you were on that RCW show, how did that go over in like MPW? Were people getting on your case about it or anything?
I heard stories, I'm not gonna throw out names, but I heard stories like a few people were a little hot about it, but I'm not like stressing too much about it because like that's not my problem. Like if somebody's hot that I want to progress and get better, you know what I mean? So
Yeah, like I that's like a weird thing. Like I don't really understand because like I know like just from my perspective, okay, I definitely respect like that Squig runs Calgary and Edmonton, so I wouldn't work for any of the other promotions like in those cities, but like the other places around Edmonton and Calgary, like if I'm not booked on a show for Squig, I might as well go out and get the experience elsewhere, you know? Like, you know
yeah,
what I'm saying? Like
and that's
if
I
like
agree with you so much on that because like I feel so strongly that people can't expect you to be locked to one place if they don't got you under a contract and ain't paying you as you're contracted, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
obviously you have your loyalties and like yeah, I'll agree to work for you and yeah, for sure I'll do these shows for you, but like nobody no I can't. I see it in the perspective that no booker can be like, oh, you did this show, I don't want you working for me. Well, you don't have me locked to your company, you know what I mean? Like I'm allowed to go get experience and get better. And that's where like I thought it was a lot better in another way to come to RCW for that. Because like I said, I just felt locked, you know what I mean? I felt like I couldn't do that, and that's what I need to get better.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from there. I know that the last time you wrestled in RCW was your match against Heavy Metal, where you ended up getting quite badly injured. Can you just talk about that and how what happened and how long you were out for and all that jazz?
I tried to do a 360 corkscrew backflip to the outside of the ring, and
Oh my God, that sounds insane.
I did not like I wanted to make a huge impression on like my first legit show being with RCW and being a new character coming in as Dalton Rogue. So I wanted to really do something that the crowd would be like, holy shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Make yourself stand out right off
Yeah,
the bat.
exactly. And I made the mistake before the show. I didn't stand up on top or anything to see how high the roof was. So like I've done this spot 4 times in my career. That was the fourth time. And 3 of the 4 times I got hurt. There was only one time I didn't get hurt doing
Well,
it.
maybe you
And
should retire that one then, bud.
yeah, I
Maybe just
definitely
do a
want
double backflip to the outside instead of a triple.
I just want to save it because like the only time I didn't get hurt, it was a fatal four way and I did it on 3 other guys and that was the only time I didn't hurt myself. But both other times, like I spin so fast that just the person underneath me don't know how to catch me. And I wrestled Aiden Prince from Impact and same thing when I did it on him. He's like, I had no idea how to catch you. You're coming down spinning so freaking fast. And then I really hurt my hip on doing it twice. And so then I was like, I don't think about it. Like when I go up there, I don't, or like when I'm saying, yeah, I want to do this move, I don't think like, oh, this can happen to me. And it's in my head, it's just locked. And I was like, no, I'm doing it. I'm not changing it. I'm doing that. And come the showtime with Metal, I climb up to the second. And like I look up and I was like, holy shit, the roof is right there. And I was like, okay, well, I already have 1 foot on the top. I was like, I gotta go up. So I stood up, and when I stood up, my freaking head touched the roof. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I can't jump. How am I gonna jump? And I was like,
Right.
I don't wanna look like an idiot because I'm up here. And if I step down, you know what I mean? The crowd's gonna think I'm some kind of freaking I'm scared to jump off the top or something, you know what I mean? So I was like, okay, well, how do I do this now? I was like, okay, and I should have thought, do something easier, you know what I mean? But instead, in my head, I'm playing out how I'm gonna hit this corkscrew. So I fall into it, and as I'm falling, I twist as hard as I can, and I hit the corkscrew, but I didn't get far enough, and like my lower legs hit metal shoulders and drove my head right into the ground.
Oh.
And I was out cold as soon as I hit. I started convulsing, and you know what I mean? Like I was out.
That
A lot of
match
people
was
told
just
me,
over at that point then, eh?
oh yeah.
It's not like he
Yeah, it
tossed
was.
you back in the ring and like walked you through 5 more minutes of spots or anything.
Oh yeah, it was completely done. Like I could apparently, like, of stories what I ho heard, I was trying to get up and I was trying to talk and I was out of it. When I woke up at the hospital, it was almost 6 in the morning, and they told me I'm good to go. I was out that long that they already ran all the tests on me. They did everything they needed, and I was knocked out that long. I woke up and they told me I can go, and I just changed my gown and walked out of the hospital. I was super like dizzy. I felt like throwing up a lot, and the doctors told me, well, they ca I kept hearing over and over, y I don't believe in luck. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you're lucky that didn't happen. Like, I don't believe in it that way, where it's like it. Because the doctors kept telling me, you're lucky you didn't brain bleed. And I heard that from three doctors, because I went to the hospital doctor, and then I went to my grandma's doctor, and then I went to my family doctor, and all three of them said the same thing. You're lucky you didn't brain bleed, because they seen like the results of my tests and stuff like that on my head. And I don't believe in the sense of like saying, oh, you're lucky that didn't happen to you. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, like obviously it wasn't my time for my career, or my life to be over. It wasn't luck. It just wasn't my time yet. You know what I mean? Like, I made a mistake, but obviously somebody's watching out for me to show me, you know what I mean? It's not my time yet. And I like it was definitely the scariest experience I've ever experienced, because like I like I scariest experience I've ever had, because like I had to go to a brain specialist that was running me through tests. Was I felt like, so how do you say it, like disabled to do anything, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't watch TV for too long, I couldn't play video games, and then I had to wear sunglasses everywhere. My doctor told me not to drive or ride your bike, and I was like, okay, well, you know what I mean, I can't do nothing, right? So I
So
started going to this brain specialist, and he what motivated me stronger is I wanted to have one more show before the COVID lockdown again. So I was like in front of fans and stuff like that, right? So I was like, okay, I gotta get cleared. And that was like, I think I would have to get cleared in 5 months. And I was like, hey, I'm motivated to do this. I went to the gym, I was working out hard. My doctor didn't want me working out at all, but I started working out hard. I started running, and I was like basically almost passing out. Like, when I would run, I would almost throw up, and I'd have to sit down. I would almost pass out, and doctor like told me, he's like, I don't want you doing that. And I was like, okay, well, what can I do to make it stronger? And he said, well, lift light weights, but as soon as you feel that pressure on your head, you need to stop. And so I kept doing everything I can, progressing, trying to get stronger, trying to go harder. And my doctor told me what motivated me more. He told me, because he deals with the Edmonton Oilers and the Edmonton Eskimos, he goes through all of them with head injuries. And he told me, out of all the athletes he's dealt with, he's never seen somebody so motivated to get back to their craft. And so that made me want to go harder. And I was like, I need to get back. You know what I mean? And I failed my test 3 times, my like physical test on my head.
Yeah,
And then
like
finally,
concussion testing or whatever.
yeah, like they were making me do reaction time tests, they were making me do memory tests, they were making me do like all different types of tests on my eyes, eye tests, balance tests, all that stuff. And I failed it 3 times, and finally the fourth time I passed it. And I told my doctor, I said, I'm sorry, doc, if I wasn't gonna pass this time, like, because that at this time I was getting to the almost 8.5 mark. And I was like, if I wasn't passing this time, I was like, doc, I'm telling you, I was done coming, because like that I was doing beyond what I was supposed to get better. And I felt better. Like I felt amazing. By that 6, 7, and 8 month mark, I felt completely healed. Like I felt like there was no injury. I felt like I could do everything. And I felt like I was ready. And then I failed the test another time. And then I was like, hey, like what the hell am I failing on? And I was still failing on the reaction time. That was the last thing I needed to pass. I passed everything else.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, well, I asked him, I said, how do I improve my reaction time? And he said, well, do you like to play video games? I was like, of course I like to play video games. And he's like, okay, well, play a lot of shooting based video games to build your reaction time so that you can focus on killing enemies in it. Jesus. I was like, right on, doctor. So I was telling my girlfriend and everything. I was like, no, I have to play video games. I got to get good. I got to.
Doctor says I got to play Fortnite.
So I just was going hard in my video games. And I came back, and I believe it was just after the 8 month mark. And I came back and did my test again. And he said I passed very, very goodly. And like very, very, that's not the word. He was very, very excellent. Like my results was like very good compared to
you'd improved quite a bit.
Yeah, improved amazingly over like since like the I took my first test like the 3 month mark.
Yeah.
He said I improved so much that like he said he has no reason to hold me back. He said I'm good to go.
He's like, I got my own team on Call of Duty. We want you to join up. We're gonna pwn some noobs.
Well, and this is the thing too. Like in my entire life, I've never had major problems with anxiety. Like I've always done something then thought about it later. You know what I mean? I never had anxiety that held me back.
Yeah.
And as soon as I went back to wrestling, I had so many anxieties. Like I couldn't get in the ring. Like everybody would be in the ring ready to start, and like I'd be breathing heavily. I'd be like, holy shit, I gotta get in here.
Just
I'd get in the
yourself
ring
out.
Yeah, like, and it took me so long to finally be able to stand on the top rope or to do any movements that dealt with me going backwards. And it took me a couple weeks, and I was just like, I never felt that feeling before, you know what I mean? And then I finally got rid of the anxiety, and it you know what I mean? Like
I totally know what you mean. Like there's like, even like there was a time when I was terrified to do like a leapfrog, because I was like, oh, I don't want to jump up and then land on my leg and, you know, fuck my knee up. And now it's like a leapfrog is like a super, super extremely basic thing. And
yeah,
I just kind of accepted that. And now, you know, I'll do leapfrogs up and overs, all kinds of, you know, stuff like that. And I just try not to worry about it. But like, that's the thing about like wrestling is if you are like worried about hurting yourself, you probably will, you know?
Yeah.
So just don't think about it and do what you got to do and get it over with, you know? And be safe about it and execute properly. But like, I totally understand where you're coming from. Absolutely.
So yeah, just it was a very long recovery process, you know.
But that's I didn't expect them to be like, yeah, play video games. That's
yeah, that's what I was surprised too. I was like, damn right, doctor, I'll do that.
Boy, that's incredible. Well, so what game was your favorite to play while you were trying to heal up your injuries there?
I was switching back and forth between a lot of Call of Duty Warzone and Apex Legends.
Oh, okay. And you play that on PS4 or Xbox?
I'm an Xbox guy. Just that's what I was always bought growing up. I definitely do like PlayStation more, but I'm just like have so many games and accounts for Xbox that I just keep going with the flow, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually a big video game fan myself. I got like a lot of Xbox, and I got an Xbox One S, and I got a PS4 Pro, which is not like the latest ones. Like, I don't have the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series X or anything like that. I'd like to get them, but they're kind of cost prohibited right now. They're like $600 at least, a
Oh,
piece.
unless you go on like Kijiji or Marketplace, they're like 800 or 1,000 a
Well,
piece on
that
there.
yeah, but that's like part of the issue is like that's the only place you can actually find them, right? Like, you can't just walk into a Walmart and buy a PlayStation 5 because they don't have them, and you can't order them on Amazon.com or anything. So, like, the only place I've seen them actually for sale is like Facebook Marketplace and Kijiji, and I think the cheapest ones I've seen is like $650. So I'm just like, well, that's not really necessary, especially like the PlayStation 5 looks cool. It's and like it looks really awesome, but I don't think there's like a whole lot of like actual like PlayStation 5 games. You know what I mean? Like.
I'm not sure if it's with like PlayStation, but I know like Xbox One and the new Xbox Series X, their games are the same. Like you can take the Xbox One games and play them in the Xbox
Yeah.
Series X. So I don't know if PlayStation's like that, but I would
That's what
hope
I've heard
so.
is I've heard that if you have a PlayStation 5 that it plays PlayStation 4 games, but it just runs them like better. Like the load times are less, and some of them have like extra textures and stuff like that. I would like to
So,
play the new Spider-Man. That looks cool.
are you like a video game collector or like old style games, or you just have like new systems type deal?
I mean, I've got I got the emulators on my computer for like all the Super Nintendo and Sega and like regular Nintendo. Lately, I've been playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for Nintendo, just like the original one, the one that's like super hard with the crazy dam level where you have to like. Got guide your turtle through the seaweed or whatever that electrocutes you, and it's so frustrating because you there's one section there where you just straight up have to go in and take the damage, because like you just there's no way to avoid that seaweed. But like I like that because I'm fairly old. I'm like 27 years or no, I'm 37 years old, right? So I had that game when I was a kid. And I used to love it, but I've never ever like beaten like the third stage on it. So I've been trying to play that a little bit lately. I like Nintendo 64, of course. I do have a Nintendo 64, but it's kind of like tucked away in a closet right now. But I've got a few of those games on my computer right now too. I bought a controller. It's a Nintendo 64 controller, except it's got a USB plug on the end of it, so you can plug that into your computer and play Nintendo 64 games off emulators and stuff. It's pretty
Well,
cool.
you're just freaking set, eh?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a like a but I do like older games more than I like newer stuff. Like I'm not really into the Call of Duties and stuff 'cause I just get killed, But I love
Absolutely.
Super Mario Brothers. Like Super Mario Brothers is great. Even like the new any of the new Mario like Odyssey or the Mario 3D All-Stars that came out recently, those are great. The one where you can the Mario Maker where you can make your own levels, that one's pretty fun. You have a Wii?
No, I did like years back, but I haven't played it in a long time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like I say, I like the new games, but I find them to be like extremely complicated sometimes, Because like
Yeah, for
when I
sure.
was a kid, all you had to do was go to the right and jump over stuff. And now it's like the controller has like 25 buttons on it, and each one of them has different action, and sometimes you have to press two of them at the same time. Like even the newest wrestling game, the WWE 2K20. Like if you play that in order to do your finishing move and stuff, you got to hit two buttons at the same time, and it's like they really make this game more complicated than it needs to be,
You into the new like WWE games?
Oh, I've been into the WWE games since they then since like the Super like not the Super Nintendo, but the Nintendo 64. Like I had No Mercy like when I was a kid and when it first came out, right? And then I've owned every single SmackDown game like for PlayStation, and like I think that the newest, the 2K20 is kind of a buggy mess, and it's a real shame because I get so much enjoyment out of them. I think 2K19 is fantastic, but 20 is...
I got the same boat as you. Like I first got the wrestling games on Nintendo, and I've been getting like every Raw versus SmackDown and that you could think of, and I had like all on PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And I had every single wrestling game all the way up until 2018, and that's like where I called it a line. I was like, okay, this game's starting to, you know, take a little bit of a turn that I wasn't really into, so.
Well, I thought the 2K19 was the best, like, 2K one that they did. And then when they did 2K20, I was really looking forward to it because, you know, it's got, like, updated roster and new wrestling moves you can do and all that kind of stuff. But then, like, I played it and I was like, oh, it's really not made very well. Like, it's very clear that they changed companies who make the game and stuff. So
yeah. I'm really hoping that AEW comes out with one.
Yeah, I've heard that they have one in the works, and they put out like one for your phone, which is like, I think it's like a casino game or something where you basically, it's like you could play like craps and like casino games, but they all have like AEW like themes to them. Which yeah. I haven't actually played it because that doesn't sound like it would interest me at all. But like, if they actually put out a game where, you know, you choose a wrestler and then you fight another wrestler inside of a wrestling ring, like I'll play that for sure. Did you ever play Def Jam Vendetta?
I think I have. I've heard of it. Like, and I'm very, very confident that I have. I'm pretty sure. I've definitely like. You know what I mean? Like, it comes to mind when you say that. I definitely think I did.
Yeah, that's a good. That's definitely a really good one. Anyway, getting back to like actual wrestling. So you got injured in your first RCW show where you debuted your new character. What was the inspiration for debuting a new character? Why didn't you just want to come over and continue to be Kid Cyrus?
Kid Cyrus to me, like, you know. Through every wrestler's career, they got to go through hundreds of gimmicks to find the one that rightfully fits for them, the one that pops, you know what I mean? And I think right now I'm in that stage, and Kid Cyrus to me was too much of your generic clap your hands baby face that just wasn't going anywhere. It just seemed like one of those another generic gimmicks that you'd see on
I understand what you're saying for sure.
So I wanted to use something that had my real name in it, so okay. I was trying to take my first and last name and put something together, and I was searching up words and definitions, and I've always wanted to be the character that is a nice middle of, can be a face, can be a heel, can work both, can basically do what he needs to, whether it's to win or to be a champion. He's not focused on trying to get the crowd to love him or hate him. He's focused on getting wins and championships. So I thought of the name Rogue because the actual definition is a dishonest and unprincipled man. So I thought of the... came to mind that being an unprincipled man doing whatever I have to win, and if I have to be dishonest to win, then that's what I'm gonna do, you know what I mean? So the name Dolphin Rogue really stood out to me. Sounded okay. Kind of
so
superhero.
You just
sounded.
Wanted something a little bit more like you. Did you come up with the name Kid Cyrus, or was that like given to you?
there's a long funny story to how that name came along. Once again, Lil Blay, a.k.a. used to be Cody Blade. He was in MPW when I first started, and when I was ready to debut, I couldn't get a name. And it was just me and him at training one day, and we were messing around, and the Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball song came on. and I started joking around and trying to twerk to the song. And so, because I was a young kid, he instantly said, "That's your name, Kid Cyrus." And I was like, "Well, I guess I'm going with it." So,
Well, I guess it's better than being like, your gimmick is that you're Hannah Montana.
oh my God, that would be embarrassment.
I don't know. It might get over, like you get all the kids at the shows and stuff. Like, I mean, I wrestle as the Canadian Goose, so
But I think that's 100 times better than Hannah Montana gimmick.
100%. But like, if you were gonna do a show in front of like 300 kids or something, you're ha I mean, ha don't get me wrong, you probably would want to choose like a man's name just because like. They'd be able like, oh, what, why is the Hannah Montana wrestler a man? That doesn't make sense, but
I mean, I did have long hair for a while there, and it was blonde, so.
I could see like a Billy Ray Cyrus thing, like, don't break my heart, my achy breaky heart, and then you could just like wrestle Matt Hart a bunch of times and like make the whole feud based off you trying to break the heart,
I would use the whole the song with him and Little Nas.
Oh, okay.
That would be a perfect entrance song. That song is
I'm not
booming.
very familiar. Like the only Billy Ray Cyrus song I know is Achy Break Your Heart, but
Well, you definitely gotta listen to it. That song was booming for like a year.
oh, okay. And what is your favorite Miley Cyrus song?
I don't even know. Probably that song. It's like J's on my feet,
Yeah, I honestly like I think I've heard the Wrecking Ball song, but I'm not really familiar with any of her other music. I knew that she was Hannah Montana though. How I knew that, I'm not really sure. Is there anyone that you're really looking forward to getting an opportunity to wrestle in RCW now that you've come over to the new federation?
I'm in the boat where I'm looking forward to work with everybody because everybody has different styles, everybody has different mindsets, everybody has different approaches to everything. Like nobody has the same of anything. So like I'm in the boat where I'm still fairly new to RCW and like I just want to be able to work with everybody, see what I could do wrestling new talent, you know what I mean? So I just want to I mean, I'm super excited to get an opportunity with everybody.
Yeah, for sure. I completely understand where you're coming from there. I definitely think you and Vince Austin would be really cool. And then
Oh, that'd be a wild one.
yeah, and you and Slammer would be fun for sure.
I've worked Slammer on like Tony's tours, but
Oh,
that's the
really?
only time. Yeah, that was just kind of like a, your generic spoon feeding type match where we didn't really do much. It was more of crowd work and joking around type match. So I definitely like to have something serious with him, like put together something where we can go balls to the wall. So I do definitely look forward to a future match with Slammer.
Yeah. Would you like to join up in the tag team division or anything, or just may mostly stick to singles wrestling?
As of starting in RCW, I've always wanted to like have my own faction, like have my own faction to team up with.
Yeah.
So I'm in the boat, like again, I'm in the boat where I would love to do singles and I would love to have a singles push, but I would also have so much fun and love for a like a faction push as well, you know what I mean? Like I could think of a perfect faction that I would love to have.
Oh, okay. Who's in your dream faction there?
And okay, if it's like Dream Faction, that's a whole different story. But my faction like that I would love to have with RCW is definitely me, Nasty Nate. I would love to have KB6 if he went heel. our face, if it was a face faction or if Nasty went face,
it sounds like the MPW, like NWO.
Oh, it would be me, Nate, KB6, and I would love to have the Monster Orion.
Oh, okay.
That would be the faction that would end all. Like, you know what I mean? That would be sick. Like, I'd have so much fun having, you know what I mean, doing that and just, oh, it'd be awesome. So, like, I would love to do a tag wrestling faction. I'd love a singles run, you know what I mean? It'd be awesome.
Yeah, that sounds good. Recently, just like the other day, Squig put up the poster for the first show back, assuming that the COVID restrictions are going to allow it. We got a show for the May the 29th in Radway. Are you set to be a part of that event?
This is the first I've heard of it so far. I'm not getting excited for anything until it's like the day before, because literally like I was like, for example, I was booked in Vancouver and the day before I was driving out, like it got canceled because of COVID.
Oh, so, like, that's a bummer.
Yeah. I still went and enjoyed the city. It's a beautiful city, but
yeah, COVID, Vancouver's lovely.
Yeah. I love it there, but it's COVID is so off and on. You know what I mean? You don't know what's guaranteed or if something's going to happen because of it. So like, obviously, I would love to get the experience. I'd love to wrestle, but I'm not gonna get any hopes or get excited for anything until it's like actually happening. Because like this has been ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, I hear you for sure. I mean, it's an easy way to get disappointed if unfortunately the shows are not good to go by then. But hopefully, you know, like there's more and more vaccines getting out there now, and with the show being in Radway, which is a very small, like, rural town, that might also make it more possible. So, you know, and like, let's be real here. If you're a fan and you're on the edge, I mean, absolutely buy a ticket for the show, because even if the show gets canceled, it will be postponed to another date, and then your ticket will be honored at that at the future date for sure. Squig is very good about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and that's actually really good too, because like a lot of like flights or ticket companies, like for concerts and stuff, they're like refusing refunds, or you know what I mean, like it's a lot of things are kind of messed up right now.
Yeah, no, I know for a fact that if you buy a ticket to that show and it gets postponed, that your ticket will get honored at the next show in Radway for sure. Because like the same thing happened for our anniversary show, the one with Josh Alexander. They ended up having to postpone that one, but Squig came on the podcast and he said point blank that if you bought a ticket to the anniversary show and it had to be postponed, that your ticket will be honored at the new date. So he also said that the main event for this show in Radway is going to be MRB versus Heavy Metal, which I am very stoked to see for sure.
Oof, that's a freaking, well, that's a battle right there. That's something I would be peeking from backstage just to see that one.
Oh yeah, for sure. That'll be one of those ones where like there'll be like a line of faces at the curtain just like looking out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Have you wrestled with a mask on before?
At the very beginning of my career, yeah. I was so like young and baby face looking that at the time they wanted me to just wear a mask until I kind of grew into it or grew up a little bit.
I hear you. Yeah, I've wrestled with a mask on before too, and I thought that it was really difficult. You know, like you can't breathe. It's difficult to see. You can't hear things. Like I remember so many times when I was wearing the mask, a guy would like get on me and they'd be like, okay, hit the ropes, watch out for the clothesline or whatever, and you'd be like, what? They'd be like, hit the ropes, watch out for the clothesline. I'd be like, what? You you know. Eventually, yeah. They say it again, and I'm just like, I didn't hear that, but I heard hit the ropes. So I'm going to hit the ropes and hope for the best, you know. Like,
that. Yeah, it, for me, it was the whole, like, I liked it, and I didn't like it. Like, it was like 50-50 type style, you know what I mean? Like, it was also, it was fun to learn and experience and be like, okay, now people can't really see facial expressions and I gotta show your pain through your body and stuff like that. And it, I don't know, it was a lot of fun, but at the same time, like, I didn't like it as much as I liked it. So it was tough.
Yeah, no, that's definitely like one of those things. Like, your facial expression does get totally like, you can't use that when you have a mask on. So
yeah,
it can make, you know, selling and stuff more difficult for sure. We are approaching the end of the show here, bud. So I just wanted to make sure, is there anything that I definitely should have asked you about, but we didn't get around to talking about before we get off?
What if you had three people who in your entire like career has been your absolute dream match?
Okay. All right, we'll go with that. If you had three people, who would be your absolute dream match?
Yeah, well, who would you be yours first? Let me hear.
Oh, you're asking me now. Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I like to know, like, what people love to watch or, like, what they would love to do. You know what I mean, too? So,
you know who I really, really would like to wrestle one day is Shark Boy. I know that's, like, a weird answer, but, like, I mean, I wrestle as the Canadian Goose, right? So I'm really into, like, Shark Boy. I also am a big fan of a guy named Space Monkey. I saw him and immediately was like, oh, that's fantastic. Like, these are just, like, things that stand out to me. Like, I first saw them and I remember them. And it's like, I will never forget the fact that I saw a guy wrestle on a wrestling show wearing a mask and his a space outfit, and his name was Space Monkey. I thought that was the greatest thing of all time. I actually reached out to him to try to get him to come on the podcast, but he was like, yeah, no thanks. And I was like, oh, that's a bummer. But, you know, so definitely those two guys. And then I'll be totally honest, like, I don't know what the plan actually was, but Squig was going to bring in Santino Marella a little while ago. And I was really hoping that I would get to, like, tag team with him. I didn't want to so much wrestle him because, like, we're both, like, baby faces. But I really wanted to tag team with him. I thought that would have been a lot of fun.
Oh, well, what an entertainment that would have been.
Well, like, and that's the whole idea, right? Same with, like, I know that there was a time when he was going to bring James Ellsworth in, too. And I wouldn't have him, I wouldn't have minded wrestling because I think he can be a good heel, too. So,
yeah, for sure. That's wicked, bro. You got some good picks in there?
Yeah. I mean, I know they're weird picks, and it's not like, you know, I wasn't like, oh, Kenny Omega or, you know, John Cena. Mind you, like, that'd be awesome. You know, I don't know. I just, like, those are the kind of guys I like, you know. Entertainment style of wrestling and stuff, you know.
Each to their own, you know. Like, that's what you want to go with, bro. I'd freaking be all there for it. I'd love to watch it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that there's all different kinds of wrestling. Like, I love, like, AJ Styles and whatnot. AJ Styles is one of my favorite wrestlers. Same with, like, Daniel Bryan. You know, Daniel Bryan's one of my absolute favorites. I mean, the whole, like, when I come to the ring and I do the honk chant, like, it's all, like, I've got the arm motion. So, like, it's very much like my own version of the Daniel Bryan yes chant. Like, when I start, like, if I'm in a hold and I start doing that, usually the crowd will get with it and start honking. And I think that it's just, like, one of the most fun things in the world when you're, like, out there wrestling and, like, 400 people are chanting honk, honk, honk after you, like, headbutt a guy or something. Like, it's awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I got the pretty generic picks, but they're three guys, like, I would beyond love to wrestle.
Who's that? And
I have to go with my idol, the first pick. Everybody knows Jeff Hardy. Before his retirement, I like that's my number one, top of the notch. Have to do like I would freaking cry to do that. Number two, I have to go with Chris Jericho, another one of my idols. He is beyond amazing.
He's fantastic. Like if I had to choose like a guy that was like famous from AEW or WWE, Chris Jericho would definitely be up there.
Just like through gimmicks and on and off mic, he is like, he's got everything. You know what I mean?
I imagine like you would learn so much.
And that's like, that's definitely a number two. Like that's like close with number one. But number three, I have to go with the man himself, John Cena. I would love a match with John Cena. He is so like dedicated and motivated, and like he's done so much, and you know what I mean. Like it would be, those are definitely the top three that if I could get before retirement or get before they retired.
100%, and I have mad respect for John Cena. You know, there's a lot of people that are like, "Oh, John Cena sucks," and you know, boo John Cena. Like, I'm the same with like Roman Reigns, but I love those guys. I think they're fantastic.
I agree.
John Cena is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Like, yeah, I don't know what it is about him, but like, you can tell that he works super hard. Like, John Cena's like probably the hardest working guy in wrestling. I mean, not so much now that he's not a wrestler anymore, but I bet he still works out like crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I bet he still puts out like a ton of time like in the gym and dedicating himself to looking good for all the movies he's in and stuff. But like, I always thought his promos were great, you know? Like, that's just something I can really respect for sure.
Yeah, bro. I appreciate you so much having me on the show here. It's been awesome. Like I love doing the step stuff. It was always fun chatting with you, getting to know you a little bit more.
100%, bud. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Before we get off of here, why don't you give us your social medias so that you can plug that, so that if anyone wants to follow you, they can stay abreast of what Dalton Rogue is up to.
My both my Instagram and my Twitter is TheReal_DaltonRogue. And my YouTube channel, if you want to check me out, do some funny challenges with me and my girlfriend. I post wrestling videos, do challenges.
Definitely watch that video of Tony Condello talking about Roddy Piper. It's fantastic.
We mentioned it before, but it's Dalton and Bobby. Me and my girlfriend, we do all sorts of fun stuff to keep life interesting. So go check that out too.
Solid. Alrighty. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today, bud. And I look forward to seeing you back when wrestling resumes.
For sure, bro. I look forward to seeing you as well.
Okie dokie. Thanks a lot, bud.
Thank you.